it's obvious to almost everyone that human experience has two sides to it, or two dimensions, the negative, difficult side, and the positive, joyful side. I say almost everyone. Maybe someone who's suffering from a deep depression might only see the negative side. Like, there's no hope, there's no possibility that things will get better, and there's no reason to continue living. That's an extreme. Occasionally, people will have the other extreme. Everything is beautiful, like when they fall in love. Everything is beautiful, and life is perfect, and we'll be happy forever. That's an extreme. But almost everyone knows that life has both of these aspects to it. There is war, famine, suffering, illness, death. And there's also joy. There are birthdays, weddings. There are feasts and banquets and good food, victories in this life. Now, in the next life, we know there are also these two dimensions, but they're not intermingled. They're separated. Those who are, who have decided to reject God and His ways, they end up in a suffering that is not mingled with any happiness. And those who accept the mercy of God and are taken into glory, they experience what is all joy and glory. And even what they know about past sufferings does not discourage them or darken their emotion at all. Now, this idea of the two dimensions of human experience comes to mind because of today's readings, and partly because of this week's readings. Today we read from the prophet Amos near the end of his book, where he gives this very positive prophecy about restoration. It's quite a change in tone from what we've been reading all week from Amos. Amos has been speaking all week about punishment, about consequences of infidelity, about bad things that are going to happen, consequences. So it's just been one heavy series of readings all week long. Today he says, well, a day will come when the ruins will be rebuilt, the exiles will be brought home, the period of starvation, famine will be overcome with a superabundance of wine and fresh food. That's why I like to say there are both of these experiences. And in today's gospel, Jesus is asked about the whole question of fasting. Why do we fast and the Pharisees fast? Why do your disciples not fast? Fasting, feasting, negative, positive, sorrow, joy. You see both sides are brought up here. And Jesus, answering the question with another question, as he often does, says, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Now, the obvious answer to that is no. You don't mourn during a wedding celebration. You celebrate. You don't fast at a wedding reception. You feast. So that's the obvious answer. But the question is, well, why did Jesus bring up a wedding? Or why did he bring up a bridegroom? What is he talking about here? He seems to avoid the question, but in fact, his answer to the question by asking another question with an obvious answer is a profound teaching about the new circumstance that has broken into the world with the arrival of Jesus. Yes, human experience is still this intermingled combination of positive and negative, but once Jesus arrives, a new element has entered into the mixture, and it translates human experience into something extraordinarily positive. Even though we still live in a valley of tears, and the negative experiences of life can still be overwhelming, the sorrows can be devastating, the presence of Jesus sheds a different light even on those difficult days. Why? Because he is God who has come to wed his people. He himself is the bridegroom that he refers to, and he's here. Once the bridegroom has arrived, you don't wait around anymore, fasting, mourning, anticipating. You celebrate, you rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Perhaps this idea of sorrow and joy intermingled comes to mind in part because I was reflecting on the upcoming death anniversary of Sister Barbara. You know, in less than 2 weeks we'll be celebrating her first death anniversary. And one of the things I experienced in those days, she died on a Thursday, and I had to officiate at a wedding on the following Saturday, so 2 days later. So she died on Thursday. By Friday, we had her body here in the chapel. We were having the wake on Friday, Saturday. And then on Saturday, I had to get up from the wake, put on my happy face, and officiate at a wedding, which is a very joyful celebration. And then after the wedding, I didn't go to the reception, but after the wedding, I came back here and walked into the wake again. That memory came back to my mind. I said, well, that's the way life is here. But even when we're suffering, even when we have a wake, we do it in the presence of the Lord. The body of Sister was here, and the Lord was here in the Eucharist. So we can't be completely overwhelmed because of the presence of the bridegroom. Now, this takes a little bit of adjustment because we're used to going with how we feel or struggling with how we feel. And it takes an effort to apply faith to the circumstances that seem so negative. But this is what we're being called to do. And that's why Jesus, after introducing the idea of the bridegroom, speaks about new wine and new wineskins. Life in Christ is a new wine. It's a new thing. It's a completely new thing. It changes everything about the way we interpret our experience in this world. So in order to take that in and preserve it, we have to be new. We're the wineskins. We ourselves are the wineskins. If we try to contain the grace of God, the life of Christ, the gift that comes with the presence of Jesus Christ, if we try to contain it in our fallen nature, in the flow of our emotions and in the ups and downs of daily life, it's going to spill out. Maybe on a good day we'll be able to pray and be able to praise God, but on a bad day we won't be able to because we just don't feel like it. That's why he says we need a new wineskin. And that new wineskin is provided by grace. We are given a capacity to persevere in faith because that's what God gives us. We might still feel the same. We might still feel devastated by our losses or afraid of calamities or whatever negative emotion might overcome us. But deeper down, where the new wineskin has been established in our hearts, we say, well, even though I feel this, or even though I'm afraid of that, there's something that does not change, and that is the presence of the bridegroom. So there's a part of us that cannot lose its joy, even in difficult times. If we are new wineskins, we can preserve the new wine. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, we can rejoice, even when we're unhappy. We can feast even while we're fasting. So that gives us a little perspective on what to do with the tumultuous times and the difficulties of daily life. Yes, we're still mourning and weeping in this valley of tears, but our eternal happiness has already begun also. Both. We're both here and in glory. We suffer and we rejoice. But the rejoicing overcomes the suffering because of the presence of Jesus, the bridegroom.